quick bit of advertising, just to say that I was asked with Mike Beaumont, one of the teachers in Salt Lake, to co-write a book with him. That basically meant I wrote a few chapters in here, mostly testimonies, but with a bit of teaching as well on praying for people and seeing healing. English people don't like getting up and advertising their own stuff. But I think it's quite important sometimes to read stuff that sort of fosters faith in an area. So I'd recommend this. Mike Beaumont's teaching on being filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts that are available to us. It's great teaching with a bit of practical of how it's worked out in church life. I was asked to do this and kept on battling with feeling inadequate and now I can't write that sort of stuff. And I was in Malawi doing some work there with one of our people that's out in mission in Malawi, the probably the poorest country in the world, Malawi, in the middle of Africa. And I was sat down on a Sunday afternoon with a group of people and there was a South African evangelist as part of this group of people that we just met on, who didn't know us at all. And I had a word for the people that were hosting this event and prophesied to them and gave them a picture. This South African pastor said, he looked at me, got his finger out and says, "You're meant to write a book. You're meant to be writing a book. And you need to write down the way you pray for people and the way you hear God so that others can benefit from that process." So he says, "And I feel God saying you need to write that." And so I came up to him afterwards. He says, "Well, that's really interesting you say that, because I've been invited to write a book and I've been battling with it and never got to do it." And so this got written on the way back, not from Malawi, but on the way back from Nepal. As I was on the plane looking at the Himalaya hills over Nepal, I got inspired to write my chapters that I should have written. And my computer lasted the whole of the journey. So I just about finished my chapters on the way back. So there was a flow of the Holy Spirit. So recommend this. Have a read. Only £2. Normally they're for £3.50, but reduction for you. Okay? So what I want to do is just give a few statements. So if you've got your notepads out, here's some points for you of what I believe we need to see in our local churches. And I believe that the local church is the place to see release of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and see the supernatural, see healing. Yes, it's great to have these big conferences. Yes, it's great to have special events. But the local church should be the place where we see healing happening. So here are a few sort of I believe statements. I believe that healing and miracles should be a part of any local church's life, so that we're meant to have those miracles and those healings happening regularly. Number two, that there should be an atmosphere of faith for God's supernatural healing and prayer for healing, which should be offered during or at the end of any meeting. So, you know, there's occasionally places where it's not appropriate. But most of our meetings, I believe, there should be opportunity for people to get prayed for. So if you came to, I heard somebody saying, "Oh, I need prayer for healing. I just didn't know where to go. But I'd heard that Henley Baptist Church, you always pray for people at the end of the meeting for healing." So they knew. They knew where to come. And they came and just got prayer. There was one lady who had come to church a while back and stopped coming. She damaged her back. And she'd come for a bit of prayer for us on our own, Di and me. And we prayed for her and there was an improvement. And then she wanted more prayer. She put it out again, wanted more prayer. I said, "Well, I think you probably need to come along to church on the Sunday morning." So she timed it at the very end of the meeting, when the meeting had finished. And then she popped in and brought a friend with her. And they said, "We both want prayer." And I sort of felt, well, that's cheating. You should be at the meeting, you know. It's cheating. So I thought, well, we'll see what happens. I'm not sure if anything will happen. But she got healed. And she describes it like this. "As I got prayed for, it felt like a gnome was knitting my back back together. A gnome. Oh, that's the first time I've heard that before. That's weird. The new age sort of stuff sort of creeps in, doesn't it? Sort of, this is her description, the gnome. And her friend got prayed for as well, and her legs shot out, and her back came back together as well. So it's good to have an atmosphere where people can get prayed for week by week. Number three, that there will be regular words of knowledge so people will receive faith. Now, what I suggest to you, if you say, I'm in the meeting, anybody wants prayer for healing, just come. If you then say, there is a person here, you suffer with migraines, and during the last week you've had these migraines, and you have pain, you're left with a bit of dizziness and pain on top of your head from these migraines, and you normally have medication, but the medication isn't brilliant right now, would you like to come forward if you're here at the end of the meeting to get prayed for? If you're that person with that migraine, you'll be going, oh, that sounds like me, you know. And normally you wouldn't bother getting prayer because you just cope with migraines, but then you'll think, I better go forward. So, who is that person who has those migraines like that? Yeah, there you are. So, we've been praying for you, haven't we? Could you come at the end to your prayer? Is that all right? Okay, right, okay. So faith is stood, you see. So, to receive faith, to come forward to get prayer, they can be given by any team member, not just the pastor or the leader. You know, often we come to meetings, well, leader didn't do much good today, did he? Yeah, preaching wasn't much good. No, we're all a team. We're all meant to be involved in this together. So why don't you pray a little bit before you get to the meeting? And maybe you can bring those little words, write them down on a piece of paper and give them to the pastor. Number four, the prayer for healing should extend beyond the church meeting to family life, time with friends, occasionally in the workplace. Why occasionally in the workplace? Well, your boss is paying for you to do your job. So if you're spending all your time doing evangelism and praying healing for people, he might get a bit cross with you. You can do it in your lunch break, though, and other times. Okay, in the workplace and on the street. I've written cafe, airport, school. Those are places I've seen. Yeah. It's great when in the cafe, praying for people. Okay, number five. The people should be trained up to carry this on to the next generation. Have I got there already? Have I missed something? Oh yeah, no. The next generation. So, and that young and elderly people should be involved in seeing the supernatural healing. Of God. There you are. There's some sort of quick statements of what we would like to see in fellowships, and maybe in your fellowship. That's what we're looking for in our fellowship. So I want to just give you a few testimonies, how I learned to pray for people, and just some sort of guidelines for prayer. I was helped by a guy called Ian Andrews. Ian Andrews was originally from Chard, down in Somerset, and I believe he still lives down there. And we've had him up to our neck of the woods, and he's come to a lot of Salt and Light churches over the years and helped us. And he had a particular style of praying for people, I noticed. He would put his hand gently on somebody, like this, get ready for this, stay awake for him. And he would go, Lord Jesus, I just pray. It's darkness. Go now in the name of Jesus. Give warning. And he would pray like that. And the person, when he prayed like that, they would shake and something would happen to them and they'd fall out in the spirit. I thought, wow, I like that type of praying. Next time I pray for somebody, I'm going to pray like that. So I was doing a Jubilees meeting. This is elderly people, 60s, 70s, 80s. It's a great place to have words of knowledge. If you're 65, 70, 80, most of us will have pains in our bodies. One chap said, If you haven't got pain in your body, well, you probably haven't got one of those things, because you know everything. You know you're alive because everything aches. And so it's a great place to have words of knowledge. You know, there's a person here with a pain. You start off, and all their faces lighten up, you know, because they've all got pain. And so great place to have words of knowledge. So I was doing a Jubilees meeting. I was doing my little sort of this, that, and the other. And I had a picture of. Oh, I had this word come up in my mind. Oh, that... Sorry, I've missed a page. Can you go... Just keep going through those. And you should come to a picture. Oh, it says... Oh, let's go back to that a minute. Just keep going. Okay, well, forget. It's not on there. Never mind. Oh, I must have got the wrong one.
I'd love to know what that slide's about.
Yeah, I should have. If you see that anywhere. I had this word, and the word was angina. Angina. Now, I thought angina was to do with hair loss. And I got muddled up with alopecia and angina. So I got word angina, and I wrote that down. Thank you, Lord, for that. It's to do with hair loss, and there's quite a lot of older people here, and I'm sure somebody's going to say, yes, that's me. And then I had a picture of a heart. And I saw this person with just a picture of a heart. So I said, angina. And then and then I said, I've got a picture of a heart as well. And they went, Roger, you get angina in the heart. So I went, oh, good. And I said, no, Roger, not good. And so I say, right, is anybody here who's got angina? And this lady put up her hand. So she lifted up her hand, said, okay, we're going to pray for you. Is that all right? Yes, that would be great. So I got another lady to put her hand over her heart. For obvious reasons, I didn't want to put my hand there. And so she put her hand over her heart, and I went and put my hand gently on top of hers. And I thought, you know, I know this lady. I know what that, you know, that heart thing is connected with. Her husband died 3 years previously. And ever since her husband died, she just couldn't get on and feel life was worth living. She used to go around, and it was as if there was just a spirit of death over her, as if she wanted to die. So I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for that spirit of death to go in the name of Jesus, just like Ian Andrews. So here was this lady, sat in the chair in Jubilees meeting. Like this, and she's lifting her hand like that. Lady with her hand on the chest. So I thought, right, here goes. In the name of Jesus, I speak to that darkness. I didn't want to say spirit of death, so I just said darkness. Darkness. Go now in the name of Jesus. So you're ready for it. Go now in the name of Jesus. And as I said that, this lady went right out like that. And I thought, she's died. Her heart stopped. And I thought, what do you do when somebody's heart has stopped? And I thought, I wish I'd gone on that first aid training. Because I don't know whether you push the heart, you get them in the recovery position, you do the mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I didn't know what you start with. And so, and everybody in the room, they just all looked at me and said, as if they were saying, what have you done, Michelle? You're meant to be praying for healing, not killing people. And now, what they teach you in Salt and Light leadership courses is, even if bedlam is happening in the meeting, just make sure you stand there and you look as if you know what's happening. Take charge. Somebody's got to be in control. So why not you, as the leader? Make sure you're... You know, so I just stood there. Just with this lady sort of out. And I was thinking, you know, it's the first time I'd come and done a meeting in this place, and I was thinking, local paper. You know, visiting minister comes to speak on healing. First person he prays for dies. And I thought, right. And so I was just working out what to do. And this lady goes, I do feel better. And my immediate response was, yeah, And so do I. Anyway, a month later, new Jubilees meeting. This lady came back. She says, do you remember me getting prayed for last time? And my angel, yeah, we remember. She says, well, do you know what? I went, I had my test, my blood pressure has gone down, I have not had pain in my heart, my doctor was very pleased with all the results of my heart, he tested my eyes, and my eyesight has improved. At 84, that's not bad. And so everybody was going, gets to the end of the meeting next time, everybody's putting their hand up for more prayer. You know, encouragement's coming. So I believe God wants to speak in words of knowledge, through words of knowledge. He will give you, if you are opening your heart to him, before the meeting, during the meeting, around the meeting, Lord, please, could you speak to me about anybody's condition? He will give you little phrases like that, little words that will come into your mind. Just jot them down. Just check again, Lord, is that what you're saying? And then they'll be there. Secondly, he'll give you little pictures of, you know, I just got that picture of a heart, and I knew that was somebody that suffered with that. He'll also give you what I call sympathetic pains. Sympathetic pains, you know, some husbands, when their wives are having babies, they get cramping all around here. You know, just sympathetic pains. Now, isn't that pathetic? You know, but number one child was being born and dies, the nurse had to talk to me because I'd fainted. That's not a great support to die. But, you know, I've been there, you know, 24 hours without any food. Anyway, sympathetic pains. So those sympathetic pains are like little pains that come to your body when you're, you know, praying. Lord, please, have you got anything to say for this meeting? And you might get a little bit of pain in your body. Right, there's somebody here. Right, listen to it. Left-hand side. Why are you pointing to your right, Roger, and saying the left-hand side? Because I stand up in meetings and it's mirror image for the person. That's what happens to me. Because I was in a house group once, I gave all these words of knowledge and, you know, showed which side it was and gave it, and nobody responded. And then they started piping up and said, you said right hand side shoulder ache, but mine's on my left. And then the next person said, you said I was had a pain down my right leg and it's my left leg. So I suddenly thought, am I dyslexic in the word of knowledge and get everything muddled up? Or is this guy speaking? And I spoke to Ian Andrews and he says, yes, Roger, you get it mirror image. That's how I get it, mirror image, the person in front. So I thought, that's what it is. So when I stand up in front, I get it mirror image. You may be sitting down and you'll get it on the right, the side it really is, but that's for me. So somebody here, your left leg, down your left leg and around your, what's this called, hip. Around your hip, you have pain that comes through that hip area and it's difficult turning at times with your hip, and you go through pain in your hip, particularly at night when you lie down, you have this hip pain and it affects you at night. Very well, you're putting up your hand before I've even asked. That's you. Okay, can you come in a minute? Not now, in a minute, and we'll just have a go. So these words come. Oh, we've got that. Do you want to go on two more? Hopefully. Just go past that one. I'll go back to that one in a minute. Just hopefully you've got a picture of a group of kids around together. Yes, okay. This was last year in Chennai, in India. I was asked to do the youth meeting. And I got all these youngsters praying for one another by the end of a talk, and they were all praying for backs and hips and legs and arms and shoulders. They just absolutely loved it. They had a wonderful time. There was one guy there whose leg was twisted, so he walked. You know, he walked with his twisted leg. And his friends all got round and prayed for his leg to come straight and the twist to come out. Sunday morning, testimony time from what had happened the night before. This young guy gets up and says, do you remember, everybody, how I used to walk, twisted? Look at me walk now. Absolutely. And Everybody just applauded like this. Just another lady, night before. I'd had a simple word. Somebody here, you have pain in the back of your neck here, and you can't lift your shoulder. And you've had this for quite a long time. God wants to heal you. Could you come at the end and get prayed for? This lady comes at the end and gets prayed for. So we put our arms together like this. I was about to pray, Lord Jesus, please could you bring your healing so that this shoulder will come back in. Because I've seen it happen so many times. And then suddenly, as I was about to do it, no, Roger, get one of the younger girls to do it. So I look around, anybody, and I grab this girl, say, could you come and just pray? Bring this girl over and say, right, you just say, in Jesus' name, be healed. So this girl goes, in Jesus' name, be healed. This lady's arm, it wasn't a big difference, just went like that. The lady puts her head back and almost yells. She says, ah, I can feel it all coming off. It's like all this pressure's coming off my head and going. And my shoulder, and she put her arm up in the air like this. She says, I haven't been able to do that since 2006. That was last year. 9 years she hadn't been able to do this. And then she had her friends around. They were all crying. Good crying. Because they'd been praying all that time for God to heal her, and they hadn't seen it. Pastor comes and says, Roger, why is it that we've been praying all that time, not seen anything happen? You come, and it just goes like that. And I says, I'm really sorry. It's not my fault. We have that sort of conversation. He says, well, what it is, there's an atmosphere of faith around, and it wasn't even me praying. It was one of your girls praying. Says the faith atmosphere has gone up a level because you're expecting, you're wanting God to do things. So, what am I saying in that? It says, anybody. It's not just anybody, but if you have faith to pray, you can see these things happen. God wants to do great things. Let's go back to one of them. There's this guy in our church some years ago. His name is John. John gets something called trigeminal neuralgia. Any of you heard of this? This is a horrible pain that people get often in their jaw. It's a nerve. It's a nerve ending in their jaw, usually in their jaw. They don't know all the details, but some sort of inflammation or trapping of nerve that causes a horrible, horrible 24-hour pain. Most people's pain comes and goes, but this is a 24-hour thing. They medicate to try and get rid of the pain, but they find it very difficult to find the medication and painkillers to get rid of it. So they call this sometimes the suicide disease. But some people, because of the constant pain, would rather take their lives than just put up with that pain because they can't seem to find a cure to it. Others have the nerve actually severed. So their face drops slightly, but they're not in pain anymore. So John, who is an 80-year-old in our fellowship, has this pain and is medicated up to as much as he can stand. He loses his sense of balance, tries to go out walking, falls in the street, is bruised all over his face, is now walking with a stick. He looks as if he was dying. And so we thought, this is not good, John. John is not particularly embracing of the charismatic things. So in the church, he likes the teaching, he likes the enthusiastic worship, but he's not really embracing prophecy, tongues, all the charismatic things in our fellowship. But he's a good member of the church. He tithes, he's there, and he's encouraging. When there's a really good word preached, he encourages the preacher. He's that sort of person. But he's also quite open about his dislikes of things in the fellowship and what the leaders get wrong. So anyway, so he believes in the scriptures, and so James chapter 5 says, call the elders of the church to anoint with oil, and the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And then it goes on, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, you will be healed. Just check that for me in James 5 when you go back tonight. And so he calls the elders of the church. I would like you, Roger, to come pray for me. And I would like another elder in the church. His name is, he didn't give me a choice, he just told me. His name is Richard. Would Richard also come and pray for me? So Richard actually is an older member of the church. He isn't actually an elder, but he's like an elder. So I get Richard along. Richard, we've been requested to pray for John. Please, could you come along? He says, yes, fine. So we go and pray for him on the Monday night. We take our oil, and so I read the little passage to him. John, we've got to ask you a question. Is there just any little thing that might not be quite right, you know, any sin in your life that you need just to confess and just sort before we pray for healing? He says, no, I don't think so. He says, maybe there's one little thing. He says, occasionally I'm a little bit critical of the leadership. I said, and I thought, that's true. It's very true. And so I said, John, no, that's just a very small thing. Why don't we just do a little prayer, Lord? Just please, I'm sorry for any criticism, and then we'll just speak really. So we pray a little prayer, and we say, Lord, we just release John from any criticism of leadership, and just wash him clean in Jesus' name. Amen. And then we get our oil and put it on there and put it around his head and you know, pray a few prayers. Lord Jesus, we speak healing to this trigeminal neuralgia. Go in the name of Jesus, and pain be gone, and jaw be healed, and, you know, life of God, just come on, John. Amen. Leave John. Don't sort of see anything particularly happen. And then we wait. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, get a little phone call. Hi there. It's John here, Roger. Just phoning because I thought you would like to know that after you and Richard left on Monday, all the pain in my jaw left. So I didn't want to phone you straight away, just in case it came back. But it's not come back, and I thought you would be pleased to know. So thank you very much, John. Well, quiet on the phone, but like that the rest of the time. And so on Sunday, I thought, okay, testimony time. A bit of worship. Has anybody got, you know, any testimony of God doing anything? Make sure I speak loud and clear, because the older people often say, not always, can't you always hear what's going on? So I want to make sure. Anybody got any testimony or anything of God being at work? Nothing. Silence. So I'll try again. Anybody got any answer to prayer or anything like that? You know, just please that God's been doing during the week. Nothing. And then, from the back, I think Roger is trying to prompt me to just give testimony to what the scriptures say about calling the elders of the church. And so we had this little explanation, and it says, I just thought you would all be pleased to hear that, having asked the elders to pray for me, my trigeminal neuralgia has gone and it has not come back. And everybody wins! Actually, if you've had something like that, that's like from death to life. John last year died, and there was 10 years. It never came back again, and he died last year. And completely free all those years. Tremendous testimony to the power of God. God wants to do that again. Why does he ask the elders of the church to come? Well, I tell you what, when there's answers to prayer like that, level of the fellowship and faith goes up. We're going to pray for people. We're going to see God do it. Why? Because we've got testimony of God working. He does it. Write it on this. It's there in the scriptures, so we're going to work it out. And so we seek to do it. And then the atmosphere of faith. Do you know what? More from that day, more people came forward for prayer. I have as a young girl, I should have had a picture of her. She's not really. She came to the Lord, we baptized her, and then she gets with her boyfriend and goes to live with her boyfriend, and then gets pregnant. And we're going to marry them in a month's time, three and a half weeks' time, and. You know, some of the time she sort of is open to the Lord, and then a lot of the time she isn't really living what we would like as the Christian life. But when it comes to praying for people and seeing backs healed, she has a friend. She says, and his friend is another guy. He has all pain in his back. Oh, you've got to come along to our fellowship. Drags him along to the meeting. At the end of the meeting, so-and-so, he needs praying for his back. Sits down and says, I don't mind praying as long as you do the praying bit. So we sit the guy down. She puts a finger on his leg. She goes, be healed in Jesus' name. And this guy's leg grows. He says, I can't believe it. That's actually happening to me now, hasn't it? Goes, yes, yes. And this girl says, yeah, it's all right. It's just God healing your back. Don't worry about it. She knows that the power of God is available. And even if she isn't living fully that Christian walk, she's still open to the power of God working through her. Now that, for me, is just a provocation. It's not to say that confirms that she can live like that, but even a person like that, where there's faith, wouldn't it be great for us, who are seeking much more to live like God wants us to, are open to the supernatural. So this last Sunday, she was praying for somebody else who was pregnant, and her hips were all out, and she was going, in Jesus' name, be healed, and it was all happening. That's part of life now. And that's sort of a whole sort of background, what she wants to live like. Okay, where are we going? Do you want to go back to those quick problems? I want to just touch those problems you had. Let me show you which they are. Problems where people don't get healed. Have I got them here? Oh, yeah. I'll go through these quickly. Right, this is what I hear as I go around. When healing dies down, people in the fellowship, so supernatural dies down. People will say, listen, I've prayed for people, and nothing happens. Nobody gets healed. What about all those people that don't get healed? Okay, couple of answers. There's a bit of worship going on. Oh, no, it's a mobile. Okay, what happens when people don't get healed? Number one, I say to people, have you ever read one of those healing Christian books that usually does a whole chapter on why don't people get healed? And usually the people are most vociferous and say, it doesn't happen, people just don't get healed, I've tried it, it doesn't work. 9 times out of 10, those people have never read a chapter on why don't people get healed. So I've included in my little book, gathered from other people's, why don't people get healed, and some of my own little happenings, why people don't get healed. And there's a lot to do with, you know, atmosphere of faith, of people sitting there expecting and never... It does seem that whenever Jesus healed people, people were on their way. They had to go and reach out and touch him. They had to make some steps towards Jesus. And very often, I'm not being healed. So you sit there and do nothing about it. Why not take some steps? Go to a meeting where there is faith around. Go to a meeting where people are getting healed. There's a whole series of things. But I often say to people, what about all the people that don't get healed? I'll say, yes, but what about the people that do get healed? And God does these healings. The trigeminal neuralgias, the back pains, the migraines. The people come up to me, you know, you prayed for me at the... 10 years ago at such and such a meeting, I've been fine ever since. You know, I go back to India and say, you know, you prayed for me when you last came. He says, all my back problems have gone. He says, it's great to live without them. Well, it's a little thing, Roger. That's a pathetic little thing, a back pain. You try having back pain constantly and say whether it's little or not. So my little response is, yeah, but what about the people who do get healed? So that's one little encouragement. Secondly, I've tried it once, but it didn't work. Well, the emphasis on that is once. There's lots in the scriptures about persevering. You know, I tried it once. I said, Lord, please, can you speak to me, give me words of knowledge? I didn't get anything. So I went back home, complained to the Lord. And I felt the Lord said, well, try again. I'm looking for perseverance. I said, Lord, please, can I have something for the next meeting? I got something in the next meeting. And the person got prayed for. So I believe perseverance is part of God's training. And usually amongst Christians, if they persevere, they come back for more, and they come back for more. God's looking for a response in their heart. Lord, I'm relying on you. I'm being faithful. I'm coming back for some more prayer. Don't give up. Too many people have said to me, I've tried it once, it didn't work, I'm not going there again. He says, well, loads of scriptures on perseverance. try persevering. Number three. If you pray for people and it doesn't happen, it may cause them to lose their faith. Well, I've not found many of those people. Most people, if you have a go at praying for them, they are just thrilled that somebody cares about them and wants to pray for them and wants to be involved with them. And they get used to it. They may be very tense the first time, but the second time and the third time, they get used to it. And so there's not many of those people. There might be somebody who's lost their faith completely, but I would suggest to you that there's a lot of other different things going on in their heart that cause them to lose their faith if one bit of prayer didn't work. It's good to go back. Number four. God may want you to suffer. Well, if he does want you to suffer, make sure you don't go to the doctor. Make sure that, if he wants you to suffer, you really take it on board. All that pain, all that physical pain. Now, the Lord does allow suffering. There's no doubt about that. We read the book of Job. Job is all about suffering. Interesting thing was, two things about Job. He was the most righteous man in the earth. And he went through all that suffering. So people say, I just feel the Lord is showing me, shaping my character through all the suffering and sickness I go through. Just like Job. I say, okay, if you want to align yourself, like Job, to being the most righteous person in the earth, be my guest. Suffer away. But I don't think the Lord wants to use sickness all the time as suffering. There's enough in life and suffering. Sickness in the Bible, wherever Jesus went, he healed people. He always healed people. There was always healing around. So why not have a new look at it and say, okay, there may be suffering, there may be a bit of change going on, but I still want the supernatural power of God and I want Jesus to bring healing. Because I think I'm more useful to God, whole and healed, than I am, in lots and lots of pain and agony. So I try and encourage people. The other thing is, Job got healed at the end. He still got healed. So even if you've gone to the suffering, get past it and get the healing, because Job did. Number six. People blamed me for not getting healed. Here I was, being prayed for. I didn't get healed. And they said, I didn't have enough faith. Well, I say to that, naughty people. They should not complain that you've not got enough faith. Because lots and lots of times I prayed for people and they said, I haven't got any faith for this, by the way. I'm holding their legs up. I haven't got any faith for this. It's never happened to me before and I just don't get healed. I said, don't worry about the faith. I'm the one with the faith. And when I get other people to pray with me, I'm the one with the faith and they just pray and it happens and they like it. They don't realise what's going on behind the scenes. That they are coming in the back of faith. You see, faith's always there when people get prayed for. And so there was one girl. She said, I've got no faith for this to happen. And I prayed for her, and her legs moved out like that. She felt warmth going up in the back, and she went, bother it. She said, I knew if I came to this high school, I'd get healed. And she said, and now I've got to go and do what God says. She was doing some stuff that she shouldn't be doing. And she knew if God healed her, she'd have to stop doing this stuff, you see. That's why she said, bother it. She got healed, but she went away and did what God had told her to do. Okay, next one. What if it's a counterfeit healing? What if it doesn't really come from God? It's like some New Age stuff. I think I've got a picture of mine. You want to know what this is about? Is it a picture? Does anybody know what that says? Gordon Ramsay. Now just look at it a bit closer. Look at the middle letter. Spell the R a bit. R-A-N-S-A. Ramsay. Not Ramsay, but Ramsay. This was in Tenerife. So we went, oh, Gordon Ramsay. That would be good food, wouldn't it? So we went in there. Three-course meal for €7. Where'd you get a three-course meal for €7? You don't do. And so the fish and chips and whatever it was turned up. And we looked at the outside. That's not Gordon Ramsay, that's Gordon Ramsay. That's a counterfeit, isn't it? It's just borrowing the name. And And yeah. So, out there, there is all sorts of counterfeit stuff. But when we're in here together, and we're preaching the name of Jesus, and the power of Jesus, and doing the scriptures, all that counterfeit stuff goes. Do you remember Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh? And they throw down the staff. I think it's Aaron who threw down the staff. And the staff became a snake. And all the magicians, all their staffs became snakes. Do you remember what happened? Aaron's snake ate up all their snakes. Oh, gobble, gobble, gobble. All the counterfeits were gobbled up in the presence of the living true God. So when it came time for him to pick up his snake and bring his staff there, he brought his staff. All the other magicians, they were staffless. They all thought, where's my staff? I had a staff and I came with a staff. And you don't get that little bit in the scripture. But it must have been a hilarious situation. Power of God usurps or goes over the top of all the counterfeits. So many Christians, they get all fearful about, well, there may be this influence, maybe that. Listen, power of God's around. Jesus is here. We're not going to have the counterfeit stuff. The real power of God is there. So let's be confident. You know, once we pray in the name of Jesus, we do it according to the scriptures, the power of God's there. None of this counterfeit stuff is going to affect us. Okay. Do you want to go on to the next one? What does it say? Okay, conclusion. Oh yeah, here we are. Coming into that. Very quickly. Okay. Keep going. What happens is, if you take all those negative things, of all those reasons why don't people get healed, you will tend to stop praying for healing. So in a fellowship, because we're too nervous about what's going to happen, people don't pray. Then you don't get any expectation of things to happen. And do you know what happens when you don't get any expectation? Nothing happens. So, nobody then, last one, nobody gets upset, you know, if you don't bother, but nothing actually happens and nobody gets healed. So we want to turn that around. And we want to be a people that say, okay, there may be problems with the healing thing. There may be lots of questions. But let's set ourselves to pray and go for it. Expectation, get people to tell their testimonies, get people going, and then we're going to see all sorts of things come to pass. Okay, let me just see if I can just do some recommendations. Let me just do this. Okay. This is the last little bit. It's those little things. Be on the first one. There's a list of all this there. Number one, ask your pastor for occasional messages. This is how we're going to see more. Ask your pastor for occasional messages on healing. Okay? So occasionally say, Pastor, could we have somebody come and speak on healing and the supernatural? Because when you speak on it, faith is given. You know, if you speak the word, faith comes. Secondly, it's very little. You got it? Oh, yeah. Okay, you might note that very much. Okay. Secondly, if you're sick, you're going through a bit. Now, listen, if you've got a cold, pray yourself. Pray with some friends. But if you're sick and you've got something that's a bit, you know, a bit more than that, get the elders to come and anoint you with oil. Why? Because the prayer of faith like that, as scripture says, you know, God listens. God listens. And you're drawing in church eldership to come and pray. Then you've got testimonies. When God does it, you've got testimonies. So a little bit of that will do us no harm at all. Number three, read a book or two on healing and stir your faith. If you read some testimonies of healing, you've seen other people get healed through the stories. Faith comes in your heart. We are sown doubt and cynicism. So let's have a counter culture happening where we're sown faith. And you hear the stories like you've been hearing this morning. Stories of faith, things change. So read a book. Pray before the meeting for some words of knowledge. Like I said, those little words, pictures, that come for healing and sympathetic pains, those sort of things that will come. And then tell your pastor or write them down on a little piece of paper and give them to him before the meeting starts. You could just about do it during the meeting, but it's better before it starts. And then he'll find a time. You may not always be able to. It's quite difficult when you've got loads of streams of people coming up. I got this, I got that. If you write them down, he can, at the end, say, people need to be healed. So-and-so had these words. Come for some prayer. It's easy to do then. Try and keep to good prayer guidelines so people don't get put off. In other words, in our church, we try and say, guys, don't go and pray for the prettiest looking girl in the fellowship. Pray on your own for her. That's not good practice. If you've got a word and need to pray for something, make sure you've got another girl alongside. And the same with the girls. Don't necessarily, girls, look for the most handsome looking single guy on his own to pray for. Try and get another guy, to be involved in that process so that you don't fall into disrepute. And it's happened. I have to say, I'm serious about this because I have learned from some men of God who are wonderful men of God. But when you're involved in praying for people, I feel actually quite emotionally attached to the people I'm praying for. So I've got to have other people around so that I don't go and hug the person inappropriately or something like that happens and people think, that's not a way to behave. So we need checks in place to help us behave. Isn't this right, Billy? It is right. And so good practice. Learn from others. Oh, yeah, I'm trying to go. Number six, learn from others and put it into practice. So in other words, have people around who do it better than you and learn from them and then have a go. Number seven, start small in the gift and let it grow. In other words, start with the little things. There's one church I was in, there was somebody who had an amputated leg and they were praying for the leg to grow. And I thought, do you know what? I don't think I'd go there as my first attempt to pray healing for somebody. You know, it's great if you see that, but I think we need Jesus around for that to happen. So that's my start small and then it grows big. And I think, God, this is my feeling, if we are faithful in the small, God will give us the big ones. You know, like the cancers. I can tell you a few stories of cancers healed and trigeminal neuralgia healed. Those things, they're bigger things than just the headaches and the pains and the backaches. But it's worth starting there. Number eight, if you're a leader or a pastor, think, who can I draw in to pray with me so you give them a chance? Number nine, offer to travel with someone who's anointed in that healing ministry and get them to give you feedback. I've done that with a few people, gone with them, traveled with them. Number 10, encourage people to give testimony. And if you've been healed, offer to give your testimony. Often, it's just so helpful when people testify. The level of faith goes up.